This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. To receive Medicaid currently in Texas, an adult can earn no more than $6,123 a year and must have three children. No one without children is eligible for Medicaid. The federal government under the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, is offering to cover 100% of the health insurance cost of 1.5 million low-income Texans through an expansion in Medicaid. After 3 years, the federal dollars would continue to cover 90% of that cost. Still, Texas leaders like Texas Governor Rick Perry aren't willing to accept that money. Rick Perry laid that out in a recent press conference.
First day of April, so seems to me an appropriate April Fool's Day event to makes it perfect to discuss something as foolish as Medicaid expansion. And to remind everyone that Texas will not be held hostage by the Obama administration's attempt to force us into this fool's errand of adding more than a million Texans to a broken system.
Do you think making Texans eligible for expanded Medicaid is a foolish thing to do? The number to call is 614-8980, 614-8980. We're having a community conversation about the expansion of Medicaid. And you can also send us your comments on the email with to thesource@tpr.org. Our guest this half hour, we have John Davidson. He's from the Texas Public Policy Foundation. John, are you there?
Yes, thank you.
All right, John. And also we have Kevin Moriarty. He's the president and CEO of the Methodist Healthcare Ministries. Welcome to The Source.
Glad to be here, David.
All right, so we're going to talk about Medicaid expansion. You guys are definitely on two different ends of the spectrum. John Davidson from the Texas Public Policy Foundation has come out and laid out an argument in support of Rick Perry, saying it's a bad idea. But Kevin Moriarty from the Methodist Healthcare Ministries, you say Texas is making a mistake. What do you think Texas ought to do?
Well, very simply, we have the highest uninsured rate in the nation, and healthcare is an enormous industry that needs to be taken care of. We have millions of people in Texas that need healthcare, and so working vigorously to get them covered in any way, shape, or form is absolutely essential to the economy of Texas, to the pocketbook of Texans who will have remarkable reductions in their private premiums, $1,600 per person. To the counties of Texas who will have reductions in their county property taxes by, according to our county judge and our hospital system, at least 20% reductions to property tax owners, taxpayers, because this money will cover indigent health care at the university health system. To hospital systems throughout Texas, all of whom are shouldering a terrible burden of unfunded patients in their emergency rooms, but mostly to the 5,000 to 9,000 Texans who will die each year because they don't have access to this type of health care. And so, yes, it's something essential that needs to be done, and it needs to be remembered that this has been not just the work of Obama, but it's been the work of every single president for the last 20 years to try and cover the uncovered, the uninsured in the nation. And we need to get our heads out of the sand and decide to do something that will work for Texas to fund these individuals and to accept these federal tax dollars back. There are tax dollars. We've paid them to Washington, D.C. If we don't allow this coverage to happen in Texas, we don't get that money back. We lose it to other places.
All right. Well, let's hear the other side of the argument. John Davidson from the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Tell me why Rick Perry is right and everyone else is wrong.
Well, Rick Perry is rightly suspicious of the federal government's promises to continue funding 90% of the costs of Medicaid expansion after the year 2020. As you mentioned, the expansion will be fully funded for the first 3 years, and then it'll start dropping off in 2017 down to 90% by 2020. And after that, there's no statutory guarantee that the federal government maintain a 90% match in perpetuity. And I think recent events and struggles at the federal level, as we've seen with the sequester, don't make the federal government a very good partner for this kind of long-term, open-ended commitment to a system that, quite frankly, is broken and it is failing the people it was meant to provide care for. There's no question at all that Medicaid provides a far worse quality of care than private insurance. And before we talk about expanding a system like this, we need to talk about fundamental Medicaid reform and ways that we can get the Medicaid population into private insurance where they get the same quality of care that you and I get. So yes, Governor Perry is right to reject Medicaid expansion and to push instead for reforms that would allow Texas to craft a Medicaid system that works for Texas, free from the federal rules that has thus far restricted us from being able to reform the system in the ways that would work.
All right. John Davison from the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Phones are lighting up. People want to jump in this conversation. So let's go to the phones. Sabrina has a personal story that she wants to share. You're on the air, Sabrina.
Oh, hello. How are you?
Doing great. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you. I just wanted to touch base on this as far as Medicaid goes. I am a part-time student at UTSA, and I have a 3-year-old daughter who is enrolled in Medicaid. I will be turning 26 at the end of next year, and my insurance with my mom, which is through a private insurer through Lackland Air Force Base, will run out, and I won't have insurance. However, I won't graduate until about 2015. So for that year, I'm not going to have insurance. And I do agree that it does need to be reformed. Being firsthand, like, I get to see how to apply for Medicaid for my daughter, and I do see that the system is a little broken. But as far as myself, I'm not going to have insurance when it comes to my insurance running out with the private insurer with my mother.
All right. Thank you for those comments, Sabrina. So her daughter's on CHIP, and it's working for the daughter, but Sabrina doesn't know what's going to happen to her.
So we've got, she has one of the 1.5 million that would be covered. We also have the issue that was raised by John about, well, what happens when the feds move this to 90% rather than 100%? And every report done recently, the Perryman report that came out last week, an economist in Texas, the Hamilton report that came out a couple of months ago, said that this is a revenue pickup, a general revenue pickup for the state of Texas.
And yeah, but John was saying that from the 90%, they could even ratchet it down, even further down.
If they ratchet it down, then you will then take people who were eligible and you'll move their eligibility down. Instead of having 1.5 million, you'll have 1.3 million. You'll move the program to less individuals over time. That's unfortunate if that were to occur. But the program itself is not going to cost Texas. I think that's the point. It's going to, in fact, to create revenue for Texas, create general revenue that can be used for other things in Texas.
Well, I want to hear what John Davison from the Texas Public Policy Foundation has to say about Sabrina's call.
Yeah, no doubt the caller expresses a very real problem. You know, there is a problem with lack of insurance in Texas that no one would deny that we have the highest uninsured rate in the nation. The question is, what is the best way to reform the system? What's the responsible way to reform the system and
okay.
to make it sustainable for the long term.
And, so, and John, we'll take a look at that when we come back. We're going to go to a break right now. This is The Source on KSTX. We're talking about Medicaid expansion. If you want to jump into the conversation, the number is 614-8980. We'll be right back. And welcome back to The Source on KSTX. We're talking about Medicaid expansion in Texas. In the next half hour, we will be talking about palliative decisions, care, end-of-life decisions that you would make with your doctor. In the studio, we have Kevin Moriarty. He's the CEO President of Methodist Healthcare Ministries. And on Skype, we have John Davidson from the Texas Public Policy Foundation. A lot of phone calls. Let's go ahead and go back to the phones. We have Carrie's on the line, and she's a nurse, and she has a viewpoint she wants to share. Carrie, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. I'm a social worker, actually, with San Antonio ISD. I work in an elementary school with low-income families and children. And I just, every time I hear the governor talk about this broken system, it's really frustrating to me because I hear no alternatives being offered that are going to help Texas families. This is a program, this expansion is a revenue-creating program for Texans. It is a program that's going to help working families. I mean, I see working families that are going to the emergency room to get primary care, primary health care. because they cannot get treatment otherwise. They are working. I mean, these are people who are custodians. These are people who work 40-hour work weeks who cannot afford health insurance. And I feel like that it is completely irresponsible for our governor and for people in our legislature to make decisions that we're not going to take federal money that is ours, that is our taxpayer money, to give these people the health care that I feel is right. So when I see the people, the families that I work with, that are working families, that are paying taxes, and they're not going to be able to get health care to which I feel they're entitled, I feel that it's completely and totally irresponsible.
All right, Carrie.
And I also feel the governor's not looking out for all Texas families.
All right,
there's
Carrie.
No alternatives being offered.
All right. Well, thank you for that call, Carrie. I appreciate your point of view. John Davidson from the Texas Public Policy Foundation, how do you respond to folks like Carrie? The governor is not coming across as very willing to take care of Texans.
Look, well, there's no question that reform is what's needed and that the current system is broken. And as I was saying before the break, it's a question of what is the most responsible and sustainable way to reform the system and increase the not only coverage, but care for the people who need it. And there's a big difference between having an insurance card and actually being able to access care. And one of the things that we see that's broken in Medicaid now is that there's inadequate access to care. And I know that one statistic that's often cited is a survey by the Texas Medical Association saying that only 31% of Texas physicians now will accept all new Medicaid patients. And that's down from 67% just a decade ago. That's one survey, and it doesn't prove anything on its own. But there's broad agreement that the safety net in Texas, the Medicare safety net, is fragile. And putting 1.5 million more people into that safety net is going to break it. We need to talk about long-term reform. The Medicaid expansion represents a short-term influx of cash to hospitals and providers. And that's why they're behind this. But it doesn't address the long-term structural problems of Medicaid. And we're going to see Medicaid slowly overwhelm the state budget. And the safety net that is there now for the people currently enrolled is not going to be there the way it should be down the road.
All right, John. Thank you for that. So let's go directly over to Kevin Moriarty. Well, and he says the hospitals, which you run, are just into this because y'all are going to get money.
Well, seriously, the hospitals are the emergency rooms which patients are going to. And that's in nobody's best interest because hospitals charge at a higher rate for emergency room care than a primary care physician would in the primary care office. The other part of this is the state of Texas had the option to pay physicians at the Medicare rate, physicians and dentists, and chose not to do it. And so the broken system that's out there is broken by the state of Texas. The CEO of the Texas Medicaid program is Governor Perry. He appoints the board. He appoints the CEO of that organization. And this legislature and previous legislature have basically taken the option to break the system, and now they're criticizing the system that they broke. And so, again, that's disingenuous. And lastly, the Affordable Care Act is the law of the land. It is, in fact, the program we're going to have for the next generation out. It is going to be here with us. We need to get with it and get it rolling. It is not a program here for a year or two. It is here forever.
All right, now, phones are ringing. Quite a many. I'm trying to try and get to as many callers as I can. So let's get Michael on the air, and he's a family doctor, and he has a point of view. Michael, you're in the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I think we can all agree that, the concept of providing care to all these 1.whatever million makes sense. However, I would tell you, as previously mentioned, the system is broken the way it is. In my office, when I see a Medicaid patient, by the time I pay my front office staff, back office staff, and so on and so on, I lose $3 per visit. That's not sustainable from a business standpoint. So that part has to be addressed somehow, because adding 1.5 million more patients who don't get adequate reimbursement for the average doctor visit, they'll go to the ER just like they have been, and we continue on.
All right, Michael, thank you for that point of view, for your comments and your experience. So, John Davidson from the Texas Public Policy Foundation, what do you think about that? Rick Perry's in charge of running the Texas Medicaid system, so if it's broken, then it's on him, right?
Not necessarily. The state is bound by federal Medicaid rules that don't allow us to implement reforms that would be able to move Medicaid patients into a premium support situation where they could get access to private health insurance. And I want to address what the caller, the physician who was just called in, said. You know, he articulates a problem that family care doctors who accept Medicaid or who formerly accepted Medicaid patients see, that reimbursement is low, it doesn't cover the cost of care, and the rules that are imposed from Washington prevent those doctors from being able to require a copay or put Medicaid patients on a conservative payment plan. And that's why numerous studies show that people with private insurance across the board have better health outcomes than people on Medicaid. And in certain instances, people with no insurance at all have better health outcomes than those people on Medicaid, because they are able to access specialist physicians and surgeons and go on a payment plan to get the procedures and the care they need. Medicaid traps people in a system where they don't have adequate access to care, and they don't have any means of accessing the specialists and surgeons that they may need. And so we need to get away from this bifurcated system in which we say poor people have to go on Medicaid, but for the middle and upper classes, private insurance will be for those people. That's not right, and it's not fair, and we shouldn't propagate a system that reinforces and doubles down on that.
Well, in the State House, there was a recent, when they were passed the budget, they were trying to figure out a way to bring Medicaid expansion into the budget, and Representative Lon Berman had a proposal which did get some traction but failed eventually, but he wanted to have Medicaid expanded under certain conditions and wanted some efficiencies brought to the program, including co-pays that patients would have financial stake in their care. So would that have fixed the Medicaid issue, and would have satisfied Dr. Michael, who recently called?
I don't know that that would have fixed the problem. The problem is with the current Medicaid population, we need to get those people on private insurance.
But evidently it can be fixed. They can do things to make it work. Isn't that right?
Well, that's not right. The federal rules prevent that.
That's
from,
not
from
true.
Happening.
Well, what's happening right now is the governor's refusing to even talk to the CMS offices in federal to work on a Texas plan. And he is chilling any discussion amongst his Republican leadership about bills that they would like to bring forward and get passed. And they've been told, well, why should we bring them forward? He's going to veto them. So he has, within the House and the Senate, Republican leadership who'd love to get something before them so that Texas can have a Texas solution, which could include some sort of private option if that were available. Several states have worked that out with the feds. Our governor has said he doesn't want to talk to them. You know, he's dissing them. He's saying this is not something that he wants to negotiate. And that's inappropriate. He's chilling a discussion on something that's remarkably important for millions of Texans, and that's the problem. The Brody Report, which came out of UTMB, the Harvard Report came out and said this is going to cost 5,000 to 9,000 lives a year. We need to be taking this seriously and not having this conversation with the governor shutting it down.
Let's go back to the phones. Brock is on the air. Welcome to The Source, Brock.
Oh, thank you.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
All right. I had previously heard a comment about how individuals that had private insurance actually had better medical outcomes. Part of the reason for that is because they're A, able to afford it, B, they have incomes that are able to sustain their ability to afford their private insurance. And not only that, but also be able to afford the premiums whenever they have to get emergency care, for example. With Medicaid, the entire purpose of it is to cover people who otherwise are not able to afford health insurance for themselves. And as a result, yeah, they may not be getting, you know, as great of medical care as, say, a private company, which, you know, the entire purpose of private companies to profit, which in and of itself is, you know, that's a whole other discussion as far as
sure
why that's a bad model, considering health care is a necessity and
okay, so
that people shop for.
All right, Brock.
But the whole point, the whole point of Medicaid is to cover poor individuals who are otherwise not able to afford medical care themselves.
All right, Brock, thank you for your phone call. And looking at emails, we had one email, what happened to objectivity? The very introduction of this Medicaid expansion topic is biased. And just to open the topic is to be, I guess, too liberal, just to even talk about Medicaid expansion. So let me ask our, John Davison from the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Do you think that we shouldn't even be having this discussion?
No, I think we do need to have this discussion because we need to talk about how to reform the existing Medicaid system and make sure that it's around for the people who it was designed to help. Now, a lot of numbers are being thrown around about how Medicaid will reduce the uninsured rate in Texas, how it will reduce uncompensated care in Texas. And there's a couple of bills going through. There's a bill in the Senate right now that would kind of call the bluff on the part of Medicaid expansion proponents who say Medicaid expansion will reduce uncompensated care for hospitals, and it mandates that uncompensated care rates in hospital districts be reduced by the amount that Medicaid expansion reduces the need for uncompensated care. And so I would ask my fellow panelist if he would agree to something like that. If Texas were to expand Medicaid, would Texas hospitals then agree to have reduce the rate of uncompensated care that they receive, both the county hospitals and the hospital districts? Because ostensibly there would be fewer uncompensated care. Let's give him a chance to answer that.
Yeah, I would love to see a million and a half Texans covered, and if those 1.5 million Texans are covered, then absolutely the uncompensated care at those hospitals would go down. Our county judge and our CEO of our county hospital has already said your county property taxes in Bexar County will go down 20%. They put that out on April 2nd. It's in the quorum report. They have stated our taxes will go down. If costs go down at hospitals, then those costs can go into quality of care at those hospitals and improve care for the rest of the population. And every single one of the economists in this state that have looked at this has said we're already paying $1,600 or more for our current private premiums. That will go away. And so this will be shared economically in the state of Texas by every Texan, every small business.
So this is still a fight that's being still being waged in Austin. We'll see if anything happens. Welcome to both. Thanks to both of our panelists. The Source continues in the next half hour. We're going to take a break. We're NPR News, and this is The Source on KSTX.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it. Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.